Brandon Patrick George is a leading flute soloist and Grammy Award-winning chamber musician. He is in our region for this weekend's American Music Festival in Troy. He has other gigs we'll talk about in a few minutes and also a brand new album, Twofold. He has been hailed as a knockout musician with a gorgeous sound by the Philadelphia Inquirer. They say his repertoire extends from the Baroque era to today. He is the flautist of Amani Winds and has appeared as a soloist with the Atlanta, Baltimore, and the Albany Symphony Orchestra, which you'll be doing this weekend as part of the American Music Festival. We also welcome Lily Whiteman to the program. Lily is the Albany Symphony Orchestra Education and Community Engagement Coordinator, and it's a great pleasure to welcome both Brandon and Lily to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Really
nice to be here.
Good to have you here. Brandon, you've been on the program before, and it's really nice to see you again. You've been very busy.
I have been very busy. I think that was 2019 when I was here last
time.
Yeah,
well, that was before a pandemic, yeah.
Yes, very different times.
Yes. Well, so what is it? What have the last few years been like? I would assume kind of blurish.
Yeah, it is kind of a blur at this point, you know. In 2020, we didn't have much going on, and but at that time, I had some albums that I had recorded, and so I released those albums during that time. One in 2020, another one just about a year ago, and pretty much in 2021, end of 2021, touring sort of picked back up again, you know,
yeah,
as people began to get vaccinated and such.
Are you sort of back to what you were before now?
Oh, more than.
More than.
More than, because
but you didn't have time then. How are you making time for it now?
I have no idea. With all the schedule, we had to make up all of these rescheduled concerts, and then things just never slowed down. So
how does it work for you? How do you decide to take a gig? Like, what goes into that decision of, okay, this is what I want to do in this particular time frame?
I think it's a few things. Every season I offer a certain amount of programs, whether it be recital programs or concertos that I can travel with. But also I look at what's already on the books and to see how much time I have around that period for that program. If I have to rehearse with another group, another soloist, an orchestra, for instance, I need to make sure that there's time in my schedule and that I'm not coming from somewhere else right away, giving myself that space. So there's a lot that goes into it. Logistics too. Where am I in the country at that point? Can I get
right
to where they want me in time?
So how did the American Music Festival get on your radar?
Well, you know, I was here in 2019 with Imani Winds. And I've over the years, I've also gotten to work with the great David Allen Miller and other capacities in New York City. And we had a conversation about potentially doing a concerto project. You know, you could do with the flute. We have a lot of great standard works, Mozart, Nielsen, Ibert, these great composers. But this great orchestra, the Albany Symphony and David Allen Miller, they're really adventurous, and they're really known for championing new music and highlighting new composers and American music. And at the same time, I had this idea that I wanted to do a concerto project where I would commission a new work for flute and orchestra, but that I would also involve a student community ensemble that would allow me to come into a city to mentor young people, to get to know them, and to help the orchestra connect with their community and to showcase the talent within their community. And David was on board.
Yes, David was with us on Wednesday, and we talked about, of course, his legacy, I think, of bringing new music to the forefront and all that he has done with the American Music Festival over the years. I want to get to that, to the student involvement part with both you and Lily in just a second. But before I do that, let me ask you what it is like to commission a work of what goes into that for you of what you want that to be.
I think first is identifying a composer whose compositional voice resonates with you. That was a discussion that I had with David about composers that we felt would not only write well for my instrument, but that would write well for the orchestra and any ensemble that we wanted to involve. So that's really, really the important thing that goes into when you're commissioning a new work. And I don't like to put parameters on a composer in terms of like limitations. So I like to sort of, if I love what the music that they write, I trust that whatever they come up with is going to be wonderful. And so there's a bit of trust that goes into that relationship.
So what did you end up with?
I mean, I think that this piece will certainly become known as a masterpiece in the repertoire. Michael has written a masterful orchestration. He's used the choir so incredibly beautifully well. And he's also presented me not only with technical challenges, but also opportunities to really showcase lyricism and the range of the instrument melodically. It's very, very beautiful and powerful music with such depth. And I'm so, so happy to be bringing it to audiences tomorrow.
Really cool stuff. This is... The actual name of the piece is this
Flute Concerto.
Flute Concerto, and yeah. This is Michael Gilbertson.
It's Michael Gilbertson, yes,
and,
correct.
And that'll be a world premiere.
The world premiere, yes.
Really terrific. So as far as the involvement of locals, how has that been working out? When do you first get the tap on the shoulder that...
I think you actually started working with the school last fall, right? You went into Albany High School.
That's right.
Met with the choir there. It's the Albany Chamber Choir, led by this fabulous choir director, Brendan Hoffman, who's been incredible in working with us. So it started in the fall. Did you reach out to them?
When I was initially having this conversation with David about community partners, he actually suggested the high school and the chorus because of he knew it to be such a strong program and that the work that Brendan Hoffman is doing is absolutely incredible. And I believe they had some connection with the school previously.
Yeah.
So he thought that we should reach out and see what that would be like. And Brendan was enthusiastic and has just been absolutely wonderful. He has prepared them extraordinarily well. They are singing at such a high level. And yes, we visited them in the fall initially to get to know them, to hear them sing for us, to know what they sound like and their strengths, and to also talk with them and to know about the role that music plays in their lives, what they love about music, and things that just that are on their mind and that they're passionate about at this time in their lives. And Michael wanted to find a way to sort of tell their stories through music. And so that first meeting was so important in really establishing the foundation for this piece.
As far as the students go, Lily, I can't think of a more incredible opportunity for students and certainly a young choir.
Absolutely. I really agree. And it has been really inspiring to see them engaging with the different artists and also the different spaces. For example, yesterday they had their first rehearsal at MPAC in the space. And I think it's incredibly meaningful for young artists like this to get to feel what it's like to work in a space like that, because it brings your work to another level.
Sure.
Just the smell of the theater, I keep going back to, but it's really inspiring. And I can see that they're excited. But there's also this depth of connection, a little awe in their eyes, not to in any way denigrate their work. And I think that's beautiful. And they've gotten to work with Brandon, and then Michael came in the fall and then had another session with them just this spring last week. He went to their school, worked with them a little bit, and then David Allen Miller went in and conducted with them. So they've had many different interactions with these professionals. I think it's really cool for them to get to see the range of professionals in the music world, the range of the way that artists interact with each other. And it's really clear that it's meaningful to them. And I'm so excited to see the concert on Saturday night. I know we're going to have a lot of friends and family in the audience as well. And I think it's so special for them to have this performance opportunity. But then also the way we as a community, as an audience, will get to experience our young people performing for us is just beautiful.
There is a reason that the symphony has an education and community engagement coordinator, and I'm curious as to how you got that gig, and also what the job is to go out. Obviously, this is a good example, but then there's other examples, many other examples as well.
Yeah, this is a really strong aspect of the Albany Symphony's relationship to Albany. So it was a clear choice to go into Albany High School, and it's a beautiful continuation of the Albany Symphony's Symphony in Our Schools program, which is more tailored toward elementary students. So this gave us the opportunity to work with high schoolers. But that program, ever so briefly, is where orchestra musicians go into classrooms, usually around second grade, which is the year before elementary students first pick their instruments, and demonstrate what it's like to be a musician. Talk about playing in the orchestra. Here's a violin, here's a viola. And this is often the first time these students get to see these instruments, hear them in person in a room. And I've heard some really wonderful stories from players in the orchestra about running into people years later who said, "You played cello for me, and that's the reason I picked up the cello, and yeah. I've been staying with it." So that's really powerful for that. So that's why the symphony has the education arm of the work that it does. Also because music is endless. We always are learning about it. Even as professional musicians, we're still learning about it. So, of course, the symphony should be providing some education as well. How I got the job, a lot of different serendipitous connections, but it makes so much sense to me. I grew up around music, classical music, the whole gamut of it, and I'm also really passionate about community in this area and education in developing our community and teaching our community how to be a better community. And this project is a pretty incredible example of that. So I'm really, really thrilled to be helping with it.
One of the things I find fascinating, especially when you're working with young people, and I know this is intuitive and people know this, but they grow up. And what's fascinating is that it seems like, oh, we did this 2 years ago. And then you realize, oh, okay, but those kids are now out in the world or they're in college, or it was 7 years ago and now they're out of college. Yes. And I mean, that all happens really, really fast. And so you have your time to make your impact, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. But then you also, like an investment account, you invest in those individuals, and we're already seeing some of the folks who have been part of SIOS or different composer workshops are coming back to the symphony and are giving back to us in this incredible collaborative relationship.
What was that like for you, that relationship of learning early and having those opportunities at a young age?
For me, it was absolutely crucial. I think I don't come from a musical family, though my family loves music, and I gravitated towards it because I saw musicians from my local orchestra in Dayton, Ohio, coming into my high school, my elementary school, and demonstrating for us. I remember the first time I went to an orchestra concert and I got to hear, you know, masterpieces like Peter and the Wolf, and I got to learn about the instruments of the symphony orchestra, you know, Britain's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra and things like that. And my mind was just blown. And I think people don't realize and I think sometimes we musicians, because we're just in it, we're just doing the work day in and day out, that we forget that we have such real impact, and that one visit, that one phrase that you play for a young student can absolutely change the trajectory of that child's life. And that happened for me. Certainly.
That happened to you.
Yes.
Yeah. And the next step for you was what? Once leaving high school, then you knew, were you on your way with the flute?
Yeah, when I was actually in elementary school, I picked up the flute in around the fifth grade. And it's funny that people write about my sound on the flute in reviews and things like that, because I actually got rejected from the band in fourth grade because I couldn't make a sound. That's how I said, "You suck, kid, go home." Yeah. But I tried again in the fifth grade and I got a sound. And the rest is history. But then something happened when I was in the sixth grade. I had to decide what middle school I was going to go to. And I was okay in math and science, not great. I wasn't very athletic. I wasn't really into computers. And so to decide what kind of concentration I wanted to go into for middle school, when I heard about the arts high school, I was like, well, I love the flute. I love music. Maybe that'll be a thing for me. So I went to this arts high school, arts magnet school in Dayton, Ohio. I had orchestra 3 times a week. I had a private lesson with a local teacher from the Philharmonic in school, free of charge, in addition to my academic classes. And I did that from age 12 to 18. So it was a natural, it almost felt natural to go from that program to conservatory.
Was there a point where you thought, okay, this can be my life, this can be my career, this can be what I do?
Yeah, I did a competition in near Cincinnati, Ohio, when I was probably a sophomore in high school. And the adjudicator was a wonderful man by the name of George Hambrecht. And he was principal flutist of the Cincinnati Symphony and recorded on so many legendary albums of that orchestra. And I played a Mozart concerto for a scholarship, and he gave me such great comments. And he told my mom afterwards, you know, if this kid wants to do it, if he keeps working, I think there's something there. And my mom had no idea. And at that point, he was like, you know, people make a living playing orchestral instruments as soloists and orchestras and chamber ensembles. And that just opened her world up. Yeah. Because this man who had retired from this illustrious career was telling her that her son could do that. And it was that moment where I think my mindset shifted. Yeah.
And then you immediately thought of the fabulous wealth that you could have. Isn't it?
Well, I think also at that time, this was Jean-Pierre Rampal had just passed away probably 2 years before, who was responsible for making the flute a solo instrument in the 20th century. James Galway was still touring, sure, and coming to Ohio pretty regularly, visiting all the major conservatories, playing with all the symphony orchestras. So we were seeing great flute players come through Dayton, come through Ohio, watching live from Lincoln Center with my grandmother on PBS. So I was seeing people do it at a high level, and I thought, like, well, if they could play a golden flute and travel the country, I could too. And I do play a golden flute.
Nicely done, sir. Very nicely done. What is it when you see, do you give yourself moments even when you're working with the kids at an event like this one that's coming up over the last day or two, that you have time to say, oh, wow, you know, there's someone who really could do something here?
Yeah. Yesterday, we actually had a great opportunity to talk with the students. I went in with Lily, mm-hmm, and we had a wonderful conversation with a group of young musicians from the wind program, the string program, the choir program. They brought them all in for a conversation with us about my career and what it's like, what our journeys have been like in the performing arts. And that was so special because they asked such thoughtful questions, and you could see that some of them were thinking about that they really love this and yeah, how they can find a way as adults, because they're at that stage where they're getting ready to go out into the world, sure, go to college and think about what they want to do. And they're asking questions like, maybe I could do this because I do love it, and there are different avenues that I can take to incorporate music into my life. That's very, very powerful.
Yeah. Brandon Patrick George is going to be part of the American Music Festival and their performance tomorrow night at MPAC in Troy. You can find out more information about the concert by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Also note that Brandon will be at Tannery Pond Concerts on June 22nd. He also has a new album out called Twofold. All of that going on. Brandon, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm delighted to have you on the program. Lily Whiteman is the Albany Symphony Orchestra Education and Community Engagement Coordinator. Thank you for your beautiful work in the community as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.